How strong is your faith? Does it ever waver? Do you ever question, is God real? Is the Bible accurate? What about all these people in church who don't live up to what they're supposed to? How can I trust this? Do you ever have doubts? How strong is your faith? You know, there's a lot of things we doubt. Is the Loch Ness Monster real, or is he fake? Is Bigfoot real, or is he fake? Global warming, was it really man-made? That's a big debate right now, isn't it? What about you flush the toilet in North America, it spins one way. Some people think you flush the toilet in South America, it spins the other way. Do you know? So what do you think? What does it mean for a Christian to doubt their faith? To say, I've served God, I've loved God, I've been part of this church forever, but you have those moments where, wow, is this real? What does that mean? Does that change you? Does that mean you're not saved once you doubt? What does that mean? I'm not the same Christian I was 12 years ago when I first stepped into this church. It was my last year of college. And I was going around to different churches with a group of other kids. I stopped at this church and I really liked it. I'm not the same Christian. Back then I was smarter. My brain worked faster. I was younger. I am now 40 pounds heavier than I was back then. I could meet somebody and remember their names like that. One meeting. Now I can't recall people's names that I've known all my life. It just doesn't happen anymore. I'm not the same person. But my faith has changed too. That doesn't mean that I reject what I knew back then. What it means is I know it better now. Now I've experienced what it is to be a Christian. Now I know it. I don't just think it. I just don't think, yeah, I think God's real. Yeah, I think I'll commit to this. Now I know it. So is it okay to doubt? Is it okay to question, is God real? Is church real? Is Bible real? Or is this just a big hoax? The scripture we're going to be using today is in Jude. There are no chapters in Jude. There's only verses because there's only one chapter. So we're looking at Jude, verse 17 through 25. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God of our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. So will doubt separate you from God? Well, let's start by answering that question with another question. What is saving faith? What does that mean? The importance of faith is that it saves us and it changes our desires. It saves us from our sin. It shows us a direction that we are to commit to. Saving faith is believing in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and His lordship over our life. You cannot be a Christian if you do not have this faith. That's essential. Habakkuk 2:4 says, "The righteous will live by faith." No, it's not just believing. It's not just saying, yeah, God's real. It's living that He's real. It's knowing that He's real. It's changing your life and living toward Him as your direction. It's not just believing it or thinking it. Faith is about moving. It's about service. It's about doing. So what's the danger of doubt? Does it mean I won't be saved? Does it mean I lose my salvation if I doubt? Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 35 through 39. Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to preserve so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. If he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. God will not be happy if we reject Him. But to question, to think, to ponder, that's different because you're not changing your lifestyle. But if you change your lifestyle, if you change your faith, if you change the way you live, if you reject God, He will not be pleased with you. I've had a lot of doubts in my life. I've wondered why Jesus had to die. I've wondered if the Holy Spirit is real. I've wondered why people have to suffer. It didn't always make sense to me. So I'm going to take you through my life a little bit, how I've grown, how I've changed. I was baptized when I was 9 years old. I did not understand everything about Christianity. I did not understand how it was that Jesus dying on a cross saved me. But I knew this. I knew that God was real and that I was going to commit to Him. And I did. In middle school, my faith was unshakable. I believed I was enveloped with the Holy Spirit, that nothing could change me, nothing would cause me to doubt. I was strong, I was steadfast. But I didn't have a lot of that backing, that knowledge to support it. So when I went into high school, I started questioning not really my faith, other people's faith. I became judgmental. I believe people were fake, and they're just full of ridiculous emotions. And some of you guys know, I kind of took my emotions and said, forget them. I was one of those people who, I looked grumpy all the time. I wasn't happy. I didn't look happy. I felt happy on the inside. But I thought emotions were just a way to get me away from what was true. A little twisted. But I've straightened that out, especially since I've been married. when I entered college, I went to college for a Bible ministry degree. And in college, I became more educated. I started looking into the Bible really deeply. But I questioned my faith. And I questioned my purpose. It was the point in my life when I'm like, is this real? At the end of college, I questioned church and I questioned religion. I When I got out of college, which was 12 years ago when I found this church, around then, right before I found this church, I was looking at other denominations, other religions. I was thinking, what if this was not the only way? What if this is real? That's where I was. Now, I never stopped doubting God, but I questioned it, and I looked into it, and I wondered, what if? When I started at Central full-time, I was big into the idea of looking for secret messages, hidden stuff in the Bible, looking for mysterious powers, you know, that kind of things. Like, I wasn't sold that that was the way things were. I was just curious, so I wanted to look into it. At that time, I was not married. At that time, I was in and out of jobs. I had no money. I was almost broke. I was single. I felt alone in a lot of ways. But what happened is my faith grew the most when I was suffering. I was down to eating one meal a day. That's all I would eat to save as much money as I could. I trusted Jesus more then than I had at any point in my life. It changed me. I found how to be content without money, without a wife, without a relationship. Once I found that, God put Jenna in my life, and now I'm married. My life started to get better. Since then, I've comprehended God's very existence. I've not only thought He's real, I have figured out ways to prove He is real. I've experienced the Holy Spirit throughout my life, on and off, and here He is, now He's not, and I've come to remember the experiences we have as a Christian, we have to keep them in our brain. We can't forget what we know. We can't forget what we've experienced. So if you're suffering with doubt, remember what you know. So where does doubt come from? Maybe we don't have a firm foundation in our faith. Maybe we're struggling with sin. Wow, if I sin this bad, you know, I can't be a Christian. If I'm struggling with sin this bad, maybe there really isn't a God. You start doubting. You start questioning. Sometimes we go through hardships. We lose people. I think of the song, In the Eye of the Storm. Man, it tears me up. When the tests come in and you only have a few months left. Man, and when you lost your baby girl to addiction. Man, that hits me. What if? I work with people who suffer these things. And so it strikes me. It hurts me. And to those in those circumstances, it'll cause you to doubt. Some people get so educated in science and in history and just that they talk themselves out of God. Well, science proves everything. God isn't real. You know, there's a lot of people in the Bible who doubted. Abraham and Sarah doubted that they would have a son. Moses was scared to talk to Pharaoh. He lost control whether God was going to take care of them or not, and he struck the rock so it'd give the people water. David, the best king reported in the Bible, he had an affair. He wasn't a very good father either. As some people think. You know, Jonah, he didn't want to die, so he didn't want to go to Nineveh. He doubted God's mission for him. Peter was asked to walk on the water. He doubted, and he started to sink. And the disciples were constantly talked to. Jesus constantly talked to the disciples about their lack of faith. Oh, you of little faith. Jeremiah, I'm going to read some verses from Jeremiah. Jeremiah is very open and blunt with God. Jeremiah tells God how he feels. Jeremiah says, "You are always righteous, O Lord. When I bring a case before you, yet I would speak with you about your justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease? You have planted them, and they have taken root. They grow and bear fruit. You are always on their lips, but far from their hearts. Alas, my mother, that you have gave birth to me, a man with whom the whole land strives and contends. I have neither lent nor borrowed, yet everybody curses me." He's questioning that why he was even born. "You understand, O Lord, remember me and care for me. Avenge me on my persecutors. You are long-suffering. Do not take me away. Think of how I suffer reproach for your sake. O Lord, you deceived me, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everybody mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long." Here's a man who was called into the ministry to preach the word of God. And he suffered for it. He kept his faith strong with God, but he struggled. He asked the questions, why? So, what do we do with our doubts? Let's watch this video.
The Bible is reliable. Or is it? What do you do with doubt?
Good Christians do not have doubts.
You're not a very spiritual person, are you?
How dare you question God?
You ask too many questions.
You must not be saved.
Is it wrong to doubt the Bible? Well, what is doubt? It's your mind trying to learn, adjusting its grip on truth. As you move through life, some of your ideas about reality become more firmly positioned in your mind, while others become less certain. These need to be examined from time to time. If they're reaffirmed, they're inserted back into your belief system. If not, they're thrown away and replaced with a new, updated understanding. This ongoing process of establishing or revising enables you to keep growing in your understanding of reality. But it requires that you ask good questions and diligently seek answers. But is it okay to question the Bible? According to the Christian worldview, God has revealed Himself through the Bible and through the natural world. Because God is a rational mind, the natural world is structured in a way that's accessible to rational minds. Thus, humans, created in His image, having rational minds, can approach the natural world rationally, asking good questions and searching for answers. In the same way also, the Bible, being an expression of God's mind, is structured in a way that makes it accessible to our minds. So, humans can approach the Bible rationally, asking good questions and searching for reasonable answers. But if we do question the Bible, will it hold up or not? Well, let's take an example. Does archaeological evidence support the Bible? It's a good question. It would be a real problem if none of the people or places in the Bible ever existed. The fact is, over the last 200 years, Archaeologists have uncovered a vast amount of evidence confirming the existence of people mentioned in the Bible. They've also located all the major biblical cities and geographical features in the Bible. It may be stated categorically that no archaeological discovery has ever controverted a biblical reference. Luke is a historian of the first rank. Not merely are his statements of fact trustworthy, this author should be placed along with the very greatest historians. There can be no doubt that archaeology has confirmed the substantial historicity of the Old Testament tradition. So there's our answer. Archaeological evidence supports the historical reliability of the Bible. By asking honest questions and looking for answers, we gain confidence in the Bible. The problem's not asking questions. The problem is not asking questions. Because if you don't have questions, you can't find answers. So raise your doubts, ask good questions, search for answers, and grow in your understanding and confidence in God's Word.
So what do we do when we have doubts? Doubts are a good thing. Questioning is a good thing. Knowing the answer for your own self is a good thing. If you don't ever question your faith, whose faith is it? It's not yours. It was your parents. It was the church, but it's not yours until you've questioned it and it's yours. You have to know it and you have to experience it. So the first thing we got to do is we got to build a strong foundation of our faith. Let's look at Jude 17. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. We have to remember what was told to us. We don't have the apostles around anymore, but we got their words, don't we? We have to read the Bible. You don't have to memorize the whole thing, but you got to get it. You got to know it. It's got to be part of you. You got to know what is going to come. You will face hardships. You will find people who will test you, who will challenge your faith. You will find circumstances that will make you doubt. It's all in here. It tells you that. It tells you hard times are coming. It tells you you're going to suffer. So have that in your brain. Know it. It's going to come. Jude 18 and 19. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. Again, these people are going to come. They're going to test your faith. There's going to be people who believe differently than you, and they're going to say, hey, that's not really true. This is true. You have to know it for yourself. You have to be prepared when you're challenged. Jude 20 and 21. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. You need to build your faith with prayer. You need to live right. If you're going against what God is saying, then you're not walking the straight line. Now, will we sin? Yeah, just like we're going to doubt. It's going to happen. But you stay focused. You keep walking in the right direction. You keep trying. You keep thriving. You keep striving. And in the end, when Jesus comes back, then we will be made perfect. Our hearts will be perfect. Our bodies will be perfect. Our relationship with God will then be perfect. Jude 22 and 23 says, be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. And it points out that there's a difference between losing your faith and doubting. There's a difference. So what I want to tell you is you got to know what you have experienced. You've got to make it your own. Remember the experiences you've had by the Holy Spirit. Remember what you know about the Bible. Now, some people, you know, you have to turn what you think is right into what you know is right. You have to know that God exists. You have to know your purpose. So what if you don't? What if you don't know God exists? What if you're questioning it? What if you're questioning your purpose, your ministry, your life? If you're understanding the Bible, if your understanding of the Bible is proven wrong, will it destroy your faith? If what you believe and you're so strong about is proven wrong, will it question you? So, I can tell you this. I know God is real. I've experienced the Holy Spirit. I've experienced His peace, His salvation. I've experienced the ability to be content in the most terrible situations. I know God is real. Because if people were not moral, if people did not have morals, then God could not exist. Yet morals do exist. God has to exist. This is a deep, deep statement. But if you take it to heart and understand it, you'll find, hey, wow, there is reasonable evidence that God exists. You're finding God's purpose for your life. You've got to find that peace. You've got to find that harmony. And it can only be found in Him and through Him. And about the Bible, this is God's Word, infallible, accurate. But it's not a science book. It's not a history book. It's not supposed to be taken like that. What the Bible is accurately doing is revealing God's plan. It's revealing God's wants, His desires, and His plan. That is what's accurate. That is what's true. That is what you take hold of. But when it comes down to it, faith is best experienced. You've got to walk by faith. You've got to live by faith. And then you will feel blessed by it. Even though your life might be suffering, you can still find that contentment, that peace. You can still find that direction because it's the experience. It's the Holy Spirit that changes your heart. Galatians 5, 22 through 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. We must live our faith. It's not just thinking, oh yeah, God's real. It's living, knowing He's real. So what do you do when your faith is great? When you're not questioning, when you know what to do? When you have your solid faith? Jude tells us that we need to stay solid in what we know. Jude tells us to help others who are in doubt. Jude also says rescue those who are falling. But be careful to protect yourself. So when your faith is strong, help other people whose faith is weak. Jude also says we need to praise God. Praise Him. We've got to encourage others. Everybody faces doubts. Everybody struggles at times with what they know or what they think. It's a good thing to struggle. The problem is when you don't find the resolution to your questions. If you don't find the answers to your questions, if you think, well, maybe God doesn't exist, if you don't find the answer to that, where's that going to leave you? It's going to change your faith. It's going to change the way you walk with the Lord. We have to find the resolution to our questions. So the point is this. You have to know what you know about Christ, about God. You have to test it. You have to make it your own. You have to be prepared to explain it to others, because people will test you. So if you can explain it to yourself, if you're able to explain it to others, you'll know it even better. And when in doubt, remember what you know. Remember your experiences. Some people will get lost in doubt and will lose their saving faith. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39 says, "But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul." Don't let doubt overcome you. You can persevere and make it through.